Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce, our Flyers pre- and post-game live producer. Joe, Seattle threw the Delaware Valley a curveball in the expansion draft. They selected Carson Terinski in Wednesday night's expansion draft. He is headed to Seattle to play for the Kraken, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. Jacob Voracek did not go. James Van Riemsdyk did not go. Shane Gostisbehere, all the big names out there. And the Kraken went with Carson Terinski. Just how surprised were you, Joe? And what does this really do for the Flyers offseason in terms of obviously cap space and wanting to do more as they try to improve into next season?
I was really surprised. I thought they'd go, you know, after a guy that's going to generate offense. I mean, Carson Terinski's a nice, you know, bottom six, I say, but really bottom three. You know, we saw him play fourth line time with the Flyers this year. And, you know, and actually AV seemed to really like Carson Terinski. So he's a nice player to fill out a roster. That's not what I was expecting. But if you look at how Seattle drafted through their expansion draft, I think they drafted with the understanding there's a lot more work to do, because they, outside of Mark Giordano and Jordan Eberle, they didn't really take any big ticket items, let's say. So I really think that there's going to be some more moves. Maybe the Flyers involved, maybe they're not. But I really, I was definitely surprised. And I'll say, as far as what it does for the Flyers offseason, let's wait and see, because I'm not totally convinced that they aren't involved in something going forward here to clear up some of that cap space. If they're not, then I would say it puts handcuffs on the Flyers offseason. I mean, in order to move and do what the Flyers want to do, they have to unload some of this, some of these contracts, or one of these contracts at least. And Seattle seemed like the easy avenue to do so. So I really think it puts a hamper on their plans if the Flyers are not involved in something else, which, again, I am not convinced that that's the case. So I'm going to wait and see before making a judgment on the offseason. But if there's not another move to come to clear up cap space, I feel like a lot of people are going to be let down by this offseason, because there's just not a lot of room to maneuver if you can't move any of these big contracts off the books.
Yeah, I think the Flyers deep down were thinking if they still have James Van Riemsdyk, like Jacob Voracek, and Shane Gostisbehere, they weren't going to be upset. Those are pretty good players. Two of them were tied for the team lead in scoring. Shane Gostisbehere led their defenseman in goals. He was second on the team in power play goals. These are good players that can impact the Flyers next season. But as we know, this is a flat cap world, and the Flyers are still trying to make moves and try to fill holes. And in order to do that, you need to clear money. And this was a really good way to possibly clear money and have Seattle basically just take it. I think the league, many teams across the league, had that in mind. They had cap relief in mind as they were putting together their protected list. And I don't think Seattle really cared. They didn't help a ton of teams with their cap situations. And that's just the nature of the business and what Seattle did. They were free to pick anyone. And they picked a guy like Carson Terinski, who played only 7 games for the Flyers last season. He has only one NHL goal to his name. So it was just a very surprising pick. But I think the Flyers are done, or do I think this like really hurts their offseason? I don't think so. There are still plenty of ways to move money. You can move money. It might take some more maneuvering and some more negotiating with other teams. Obviously, when you make a trade, you might have to, in order to get someone, you might have to obviously include some big names, and you're going to have to find some takers for some of this money that they have. But these players are attractive. There are attractive trade chips. So there are ways to move money. There is still the entry draft. There is still free agency. And there is still the rest of the offseason for trades. Chuck Fletcher, in his first offseason, made 4 trades in June before free agency even hit. So he made a lot of moves. They weren't moves of this magnitude, ones where you're going to have to move a ton of money or acquire a Ryan Ellis. But he did make moves, and there is still ability to do so. So I think it's a curveball. I think it it doesn't help them, but I think it's just a thing that they have to adjust to and move forward and see what they can do. Joe, as you mentioned, there's still plenty left to be done. The trade freeze in effect is lifted on Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. So teams can negotiate and trade with everyone again at that time, and we could see some maneuvering.
Yeah, I that's why I say I have to wait and see, because it all depends on the ability to move money. Because if they don't move money and they stand pat, there's not a lot they can do. But obviously, the Flyers have to have plans of moving money and ideas on how to do so. So I'm going to wait and see on that one. And just to mention, you know, you mentioned Carson Twarinski and his experience. The if you look at who Seattle drafted, how many times as that draft unfolded last night did you see guys with 25 or less games experience in the NHL? It seemed like almost every player they picked had very limited experience. I mean, you know, there were a few guys who were a little bit over that. The Yarncroak from Nashville, you know, had a good season last year, and they picked some promising guys, but the majority of their picks were very limited experience guys. And then they got some, you know, mid-level veterans like a Jamie Oleksiak, who we've talked about several times as, you know, would be an attractive guy for the Flyers. He, of course, was selected by Seattle and then signed an extension. So he's off the table for the Flyers unless it would be a trade situation. But the way he was presented there last night, I don't see that being the case. I honestly felt like the only headline of the draft was Mark Giordano. I mean, they basically plucked their captain from Calgary, a guy who won the Norris Trophy 2 years ago. But other than that, nothing made me go, wow, I can't believe that guy was picked or that guy was unprotected. Vince Dunn from St. Louis I think he's a future number one pick, future number one defenseman.
Yeah.
He had a really good year last year. And I think that'll be a great pick for them. But as far as right now, nothing other than Giordano stood out to me.
Joe, I didn't see a ton of skill that was picked and added to the roster. Like, I didn't see any picks where I was like, man, that's a player with high level skill that's going to make flashy, fun plays and make things happen. Like, it seemed like almost every guy was like, hey, he works really hard. He plays the full length of the rink. He's a quality guy, which is fine and good. But man, I wonder if they're going to struggle to score goals. Obviously, there's still a lot to be done, but I just
And in true Dave Hackstall fashion, they really loaded up on defense.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I think Vince Dunn is a really good up and coming player, 24 years old. I think he'll be a number one defenseman in this league. And who knows? I mean, Giordano will obviously be their number one, but he could be their future number one defenseman. But as you said, I mean, their forwards really, you have to look at the group of forwards they picked in this expansion draft and say, oh, there's work to be done here, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Eberle was the biggest name they took. And, you know, he's a nice player, but there's probably 25 Jordan Eberles in the NHL or more. So, like you said, not a ton of skill. And, you know, Dave Hackstall, his system, a lot of time, you know, what we know here in Philly, there's a big focus on defense, and clearly that's the way they drafted last night in the expansion draft.
And to show you how much cap relief the Flyers could have gotten if, say, Jacob Voracek was selected, or James Van Riemsdyk, or Shane Gostisbehere, according to Cap Friendly, the Flyers have just under $9.5 million in cap space right now. That is before some of the restricted free agents get new deals, like Carter Hart, Travis Sanheim. But Jacob Voracek has a cap hit of $8.25 million. So that is close to almost matching the Flyers' entire cap space right now this offseason, currently as we speak. So James Van Riemsdyk has a $7 million cap hit, Shane Gostisbehere $4.5 million. So if the Seattle Kraken took one of those players, the Flyers certainly would have gotten some nice cap space there in an important offseason where we are in a flat cap world and the Flyers really need to make some moves. They've made a big one with Ryan Ellis, but there's still work to do. So we'll have to see. But that was a big surprise in a busy offseason with a lot of events. Joe, speaking of events, the NHL draft is coming up Friday, the first round, Saturday, the second round. Is that an area where you could maybe see the Flyers making a move? Maybe they trade the 13th overall pick. We do see draft night trades sometimes that involve obviously players and teams making moves about the now, not just obviously picks and the future.
Well, everything we've heard since the end of the season from Chuck Fletcher in the couple media availabilities that he's had is that teams are not willing to take on money and term. The Flyers' big deals all have money and term. So there's going to have to be something to entice these teams to take someone. And I think that the 13th pick is, you would think, has to be included in any of those deals. So I think the fan base would like to see them trade the 13th pick. And I think that's absolutely in play. When we heard Chuck Fletcher and Brent Flair talk last week, they had that little joke about how Brent wants me to keep the pick and all. And that told me was that in no way is Chuck Fletcher committed to keeping that 13th pick, that anything's on the table. Because generally when a GM has sights set on making a pick, you hear it definitively. We're keeping our draft pick. We have to, replenish our young guys, things like that. And you heard none of that out of that press conference last week with Fletcher and Flair. So I think anything's on the table there. And I think any deal that's made is going to have to include that 13th pick. I just don't see any way around it.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The one night when the world comes together, the world's biggest show on the world's biggest stage, the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics, is Friday at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time on NBC. Yeah, Joe, when they joked about, Brent Flair wants me to keep the pick and Chuck kind of laughed. Obviously, Brent Flair is their assistant general manager. He oversees their drafting and scouting, and he always wants to keep first-round picks. That's like his crown jewel of all the work they put in throughout each year looking at prospects. I really wonder if Brent Flair was cringing a little bit when he got the protective list from Seattle, because if anything, that just made that 13th overall pick much, much more movable, because the Flyers did not get what they wanted or what they were maybe hoping for in the expansion draft, and that was cap relief. They got very little of it, hardly at all. Carson Torinsky is a restricted free agent, so he was technically kind of already off their books if you look at cap friendly and some of the numbers out there on the internet. And his cap hit was like 775,000. He was still on his entry level deal. So long story short, the cap relief was not there or gained for the Flyers. And that has to make that 13th pick even more movable for the Flyers, which probably makes Brent Flair cringe a little bit because he really likes that 13th overall pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the Flyers keep that pick and draft. Chuck Fletcher has said in 3 years that he's been here and in three drafts the Flyers have had under Brent Flair and Chuck Fletcher, he's never ruled out trading the first round pick. He's never taken it off the table. He said it's always he has always made his first round pick available for the right price. But he did say a couple of weeks ago that he's probably more willing to move it than in the past, just given where the Flyers are. And the expansion draft did not help them really tighten up and want to keep that pick. I think it is possibly movable, and it's just another asset to the Flyers offseason of trying to make trades and get better. So we will really have to wait and see how that goes. Joe, any other time where you think the Flyers can make a splash? Free agency starts next Wednesday. But again, as we said, spending, they're really going to have to make some room. Maybe they get some mid-tier guys. We'll have to wait and see. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think everything is predicated on them being able to move some money, because I mean, that little cap space they have opened up is going to be taken up by some restricted free agents that they already have pretty much. So, I mean, you know, there's not much room to move right now. So they have to subtract before they add. Yeah, there's some, I mean, we mentioned a few guys out there on this, like an Alex Goligoski and some down the lineup type defensemen that could help this team. Jamie Oleksiak was one of them, of course, and now he's off the table. But yeah, they have to, first things first is to move. And I think that everything Chuck Fletcher's done and said, he knows that. And their unprotected list with Seattle shows that their number one priority is to move some money off the books to free up some ability to do some other things. And again, we've talked about this before. They have a Sean Couturier contract coming down the pike after next season. And, you know, that's not going to be a cheap contract. No. There's not that many players in the league that play like him. It might be a list of two, Bergeron and Couturier. So, you know, that's another thing that's has to be in the back of their mind, because I don't think you can approach this offseason like they're trying, not that they're not trying to win the Stanley Cup next season, but you can't approach this offseason like they're one piece away from winning the Stanley Cup. I think it's obvious that they're not. So, you know, you have to keep what's good for next season, but how about the season after that and the one after that? Those things have to be at the forefront of your mind, because that's a big Sean Couturier deal that's coming up.
Yeah, you really have to project down the line always, because Sean Couturier is going to be due a big raise. His contract has become a bargain, and then Claude Giroux
maybe the biggest bargain in the league. I think that Couturier contract might be the number one bargain across the NHL.
Yeah, and Claude Giroux is set to become an unrestricted free agent the same year as Sean Couturier, which is obviously next all season. So they'll have a big decision there. So yeah, there's a lot in play with money, cap, and all that stuff. Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Joe, as we mentioned, the NHL entry draft coming up this weekend. First round on Friday, second round on Saturday. So let's discuss draft prospects for a little bit. Let's just give fans maybe one target that we like for the Flyers if they keep that 13th overall pick. So who are you going with, Joe?
I'm going to say Cole Sillinger, because the Flyers need to focus on the center position. To be successful in this league, you have to be solid up the middle. And the Flyers haven't really focused on the center position over the last couple drafts. So I think that needs to be an area of focus in this draft. The name might sound familiar. It's former Flyer Mike Sillinger's son, Mike Sillinger, not a great player, but a solid player for the Flyers back in the day. I think he played for 12 different teams over his career in the NHL. So definitely a lot of NHL experience in that family. You know, I really like what Sillinger brings to the table. Reading some of the write-ups on him, including your own, I really like what Sillinger brings to the table. And again, when you look at a guy like Sean Couturier, you see, or just look around the league, a guy like Patrice Bergeron, you see how valuable a center can be. And a top six, really a top line center, can really sway the way a whole team is playing. We always talk about with Sean, a guy like Couturier, when Couturier is in the lineup, everything kind of falls into place. And when he's not in the lineup, everything's out of place. And that's what a good, solid center can bring to your team. And I think the Flyers need to focus on that because, you know, the guys are getting up there in age. Claude Giroux, we mentioned, and his future uncertain being, you know, a free agent after next season. So, and they just have unloaded Nolan Patrick. So that's another center that's not there. So I think they're getting a little bit bare up the middle. So I'm going to say Cole Sillinger because he's one of the top center prospects in this draft. Of course, it seems like most players in this draft are going to be something of a project. So it's not like they would come in and make a difference right away. But I think the Flyers need this down the road a little bit. I don't think they need it necessarily right now. Of course, they'd always welcome it right now. But I think this is, if you stay at 13 and you make this pick, you have to be thinking a few years down the road. And I think Cole Sillinger would be the pick for that.
Yeah, they're going to draft the best player available specifically in the first round. It's kind of always a mindset of the Flyers is drafting best player available. Best guy on your board. They obviously come up with a list. They rank the kids and then they go with that best player available. But Joe, I'm with you. I think if they have maybe an area where they can replenish, it's at center. They went real winger heavy last year, real winger heavy. And they look okay on defense. We know the prospects there on defense, the Zamolas, the Yorks. So I do think center, and it's a premium position too. So I could really see them wanting to get centers throughout the course of the draft. I don't know when they'll get them, but I really could see that being, you know, in their heads as they look throughout each round. Joe, I'm going to stick on the center theme. I'm going to go Chaz Lucius. He's out of the U.S. National Development Program, big center. He's from Minnesota. As we know, Brent Flair and Chuck Fletcher were both in Minnesota for a long time. They have a really good pulse on Minnesota kids. They look in that state. Obviously, it's a hockey hotbed of a state. So he's from Minnesota. He's going to the University of Minnesota. Big center, good size, 6'1", 185. And he's got a really, really impressive shot. He dealt with some injuries and stuff in his draft year, but his goals were really impressive. He scored 13 goals in 13 games for the U18 team. And then with Team USA in the USHL, he scored 13 goals over 12 games. So his numbers were very impressive. Eye-opening size and really good scoring down the middle. I think he would be an attractive kid that I think will be available in that range. So I like Chaz Lucius out of the U.S. development program. But the Flyers will certainly have some guys there that they should like. The 13th overall pick, as Chuck Fletcher mentioned, is a high-value asset. They value it highly. And it's a good pick in a year where there's a lot of unknown with the draft, Joe. A weird draft year with COVID-19. So a lot of unknown with these prospects. Teams might value a guy way more than a separate team does. So it's going to be a very interesting draft. And, you know, we'll find out by Friday night at when it comes around to the Flyers pick, if they still hold that pick or if they don't. But it should be interesting.
You know what's interesting about this, Jordan, is I don't know if I ever remember going into a draft where I feel like it's almost unanimous that the fan base does not want them to make the pick because they want them to use it as a bigger piece. And then when you hear, like last week, Brent Flair says there's not a generational player in this draft, there's another thing that you don't – it's not like common to hear just that definitive of a statement from a front office person for a team. So when you combine all these things – it doesn't seem like anybody wants them to make this pick, but you know, you never know. You really never know. I mean, these things become a crapshoot. And in drafts all over sports, you hear things like, oh, well, there's not a real difference maker in this draft. And then, you know, 3 years later, you're looking down the draft board and there's all-stars up and down. So you never know. You really don't.
No, you truly don't. Like Brent Flair said, he doesn't think there's a Connor McDavid in the draft. That doesn't mean the draft's weak. It just means there's not a generational player at the front. Connor McDavid is going to go down as one of the best players to ever play this game, this sport on planet Earth. So like,
and I think in the past you've heard things like there are generational players and they're this guy and this guy. And one of them that comes to mind is the draft Nolan Patrick was in.
Yeah.
I felt like people talked about Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick, like their potential generational players. And right now, neither of those guys look like they're generational players. So, I mean, it's not always like, okay, well, this guy said this, so it's definitely true.
And you saw some good players go after those two. Like Elias Pettersson is one that comes right to mind.
And Cale Makar, I believe, right?
Yeah, and Makar was in that draft. He was fourth overall. Pettersson went right after him. So some good players, you know, like maybe good players that don't go top two. But there's going to be good players in every draft, guys that can impact you down the line. So I think I will not be surprised if the Flyers make this pick. I certainly won't be surprised if they move the pick. It's still in my head. It's like a 50-50 thing. But it's going to make it very interesting because like you said, Joe, I think this is maybe the one off season where Flyers fans kind of are putting the NHL draft in like third or fourth on their priorities in terms of what they're following and hoping for the team to do. Like everything right now is like make trades and hopefully get some bigger names, maybe sign some guys in free agency, lose a guy in expansion. I feel like the draft is kind of on the back burner for them. So I think this is the one year where fans would not mind if they moved that pick and did something big about the present and not the future. But Joe, this was fun. As we have said ad nauseum, how big July is and there's still a ton to go. We have the entry draft this weekend. We still have free agency next week, and you certainly have to think there could be some trades in store. So we'll have all of it as this busy July continues, but it was great chatting with you. Thanks so much as always. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer. And also Flyers fans, as always, thank you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.